are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Allie, your host, and thank you for tuning in for another episode of There Is Life After Layoff radio show. There Is Life After Layoff is my journey of rediscovery and empowerment after experiencing an unexpected layoff. On this journey, it is my goal to use this platform to encourage and empower you to push past the fear in your life as you explore new opportunities to discover your life's purpose. Now, the theme of tonight's show is important and also very timely for so many reasons, but mainly because of the current climate that we are now living in. And we have been, as a result of this current climate, we have been forced to make so many adjustments. And in one of those areas that we have been especially forced to make changes in is in the area of education. Okay? So with that said, if you are a student, and I would venture to say that this could be applicable to maybe middle school, but definitely high school or college students. So if you're one of those students, or you may even be a parent, who, for whatever reason, you always struggle with the idea of taking an online course or what they're now calling digital learning. So if you're one of those people who defeat yourself before you even get started, well, guess what? This show is for you, because tonight my special guest is going to teach you how to tame your brain for online learning. Yes, you heard me right. You can tame your brain, okay? So get ready to take good notes, because he's going to share a lot of great tips and good information with you tonight. But as always, I want to let you know that if you want to call in and be a part of the show, or if you want to ask my guest a question, you can reach us by calling 347-324-5246 and make sure that you press the number 1 to join us on air. And my guest and I are definitely looking forward to hearing from you. So now we're going to jump right in, because I definitely want to maximize the time that we have, because it goes by so quickly. And I've said this so many times. God has truly blessed me to have some of the most inspiring people as a part of my network and my inner circle. And my guest tonight is one of those people. He happens to be a former colleague of mine who I've known for maybe 15, probably maybe even about 20-plus years, I guess, because I believe we've known each other before my kids were even born. And he has always been one of those people who has a passion and the heart for educating others. And I can go on and on and on, but I am just honored to be able to call him friend. So it is certainly without further ado that I welcome for the first time to There Is Life After Layoff radio show, Dr. Mario Jackson. He is the CEO of Jackson Educational Consulting Group. Thank you for joining me this evening.
Allie, thank you so much for having me.
Yes, I'm so excited, and we were talking about this before the show. Tonight's topic is so timely for so many reasons, and so when you reached out to me and asked about being on the show, I said, you know what, God's timing is always perfect, because in what we're going through right now, hey, we all need to learn a little bit more about taking online courses, and especially, you know, for high school students, even stay-at-home moms who are trying to get used to digital learning for their children. So we have a lot to talk about, you know.
We do.
But before we get started, I want you to please share a little bit with us about yourself. Help us get to know who Dr. Mario Jackson is.
Well, before I tell you about me, I just want to say thank you for that gracious introduction. I feel like I'm about to receive an award. That's one of the best introductions I've had in a long time. And I also just want to point out that you are an inspiration to me. So I will talk about that at some point, but I'm going to remind you of a conversation we had long ago about all of this and how I could get started. So you've inspired me to be able to bring this message to everyone.
Wonderful.
Well, I am from a small town in South Carolina, but I'm currently living in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
So over the course of my career, I've been back and forth between teaching and administration. I teach on both the graduate and undergraduate levels, and I've had the wonderful opportunity to work with students from all backgrounds, literally from GED to PhD. I am a lifelong learner, and the core of what drives me every day is learning how to do new things. Last year, I embarked upon this journey where I created a resource that I wanted to use as a platform to share information about how to be a successful online learner for students who may be struggling with that process.
Okay.
So I came up with this blog called Office Hours with Dr. Mario. And in the blog, I talk about, you know, just some of the nuts and bolts of online learning. But I also talk about this signature approach that I take to online learning, which you mentioned, which is the tame your brain approach.
Right.
And I think that as we talk tonight, your listeners are going to understand that the online learning experience and the student experience is a part of the human experience.
Mm.
And when you separate those two, that's when you have a lot of friction in online learning or anything that you're trying to learn. So I want everybody to keep that mindset or that concept in the front of their thoughts as we talk tonight, because you can't separate one experience from your entire human experience.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Okay. So as I always do with my guests, because my experience, my journey began with There Is Life After Layoff, of course, as you know, began with an unexpected layoff, right?
Right, right.
And it led me to pursue my life's purpose, which is to encourage others to know that your job is only what you do, is not who you are, and for it to not define you, which a lot of people allow that to happen. And
right.
So with that said, I always want to ask my guests, have you had a similar experience where you've either been forcefully laid off or you've decided to lay yourself off that may have resulted in a discovery of what you feel is your life's purpose?
You know, that's a very good question, and I would have to say I have been fortunate enough not to have been voluntarily separated or laid off or furloughed or nicked or whatever they're calling it these days.
Today they're calling it furloughed.
The nomenclature changes every few years.
Right.
But I think I had more of a spiritual layoff, Allie.
Okay.
You know, in I'm going to come around to something that I read in your book. In chapter 4 of There's Life After Layoff, you talked about having this aha moment. And and I just want to, for a second, if you'll humor me here, just read the what I highlighted from chapter 4.
Okay.
On page 24, you talk about, I'm going to quote you, "It all boils down to the fact that I do not have control over how another person chooses to respond in a particular situation. But I certainly do have control over my own actions. I did not have any peace because I chose not to maintain peace due to my own bad behavior." And that quote hit me when I read it, because it really lies at the concept of what I try to teach students when I talk about taming your brain. This quote is a thought work quote, which is what we're going to talk about in how you approach taming your brain. So I had too had that aha moment where I just woke up one day and said, I'm off track. I'm not doing what this universe has conspired for me to do. Now, I'm a teacher. I'm always going to teach, but I'm not in the right venue for delivering the message that I need to get to students.
Wow.
And I have a message that needs to be heard, because I've observed a lot of what happens when students are not ready to embrace this learning process, which is really a process of discovery of who they are and what they're capable of being. So
to
really answer your question in more specifics, I was going through some really significant changes over the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to really have an opportunity to just kind of tame my own brain, right? I wanted to turn down the volume of all of that internal mental chatter that was running through my mind, keeping me up at night, not allowing me to focus during the day. And I started coming across these messages were just coming to me. I stumbled across a blog that really talked about how you go through this process of using thought work to control the way that you think, the way that you feel, the way that you act, and how you are really aligning yourself to achieve the outcomes that you want. So after digging into this, doing a little bit more research, I went to some of the psychological literature and looked this up, and I got hooked. And that aha moment extended into, this is exactly what my students need. You know, they need to understand that they are in control of this process. If they choose it,
right.
No one has taught them how to turn all of that stuff off in their brain so that they don't get those messages of I can't, and instead they believe in the messages of I can, which empowers them to take the actions that they need to achieve the goals that they want.
So
that was my aha moment.
Wow. And you know what? I just have to say nobody's ever quoted my book back to me, so thank you for that. I think that was the first time that ever happened.
Well, I enjoyed the book. I really did. And the funny thing is, you know how when you read a book, it's in your own internal voice?
You were
the narrator. It was your voice as I was reading your book. So that was it was a little weird. I was like, okay, Allie, I hear you.
I think we've known each other so long, you know. That is hilarious.
I can hear you saying the things that you were writing in your own voice.
Wow. And you know what? That's funny because as I was writing it, I caught myself laughing at myself. And that's just too funny. Wow. Thank you for that. That's good. That's good. That is hilarious. Now, given the climate that we live in as a result of the recent pandemic, do you anticipate a drastic shift in our education system leaning towards online learning, and can you explain that shift?
Yeah, so, I mean, you can turn on the news. I think there was a story on CNN today about what's going to happen for the long-term effect of higher education or just education in general when it comes to online learning.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the general sentiment is it's here to stay. Right.
Yeah.
And that was true many years ago. I mean, even with our former employment, we did a lot of work with online learning at the very beginning of that process.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so when we talk about what's happening, we're talking about e-learning as this big bubble, right? It's like the big circle where online learning lives, where things like your training and development happen, or your massive open online colleges that are open to anyone who wants to learn a new skill in an online format. So e-learning is projected to grow significantly.
Yeah.
Now, within that, we're looking at maybe about a 50% share of that market is in the academic field.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
in our continent alone, we're talking about 40% of the entire e-learning market is going to be comprised of our academic sector in North America, and it's projected to grow up to about $120 billion by the year 2025.
Wow.
So there's a lot of money in this.
Yes. So, guys, get ready.
Yeah. And if you want to look at it on a more granular focus, just since this pandemic occurred, we saw literally overnight more than 300 U.S. universities that closed and announced their plans to move to online and remote learning. And I'm sure that number has gone up.
Probably,
so, you know, absolutely. So, you know, this is a time where a lot of organizations are going to realize that there are some benefits to being able to deliver their unique brand of education to students. But within that, there are going to be some challenges on how you get there and maintain the quality of education, as well as how you support learners who are now in this almost required method of learning. So we don't really have the ability to do face-to-face right now. So if you want to go to school, you're going to be taking an online class probably for at least the next 6 months, maybe a year.
Yeah. So parents, be prepared because digital learning is here. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. So get used to it. So embrace it. So what would you say, though, is the primary reason why a majority of students are not successful with the online learning process?
You know what? It's probably a little bit more simpler than you'd imagine.
Really?
Because they tell themselves they can't do it.
Ah, yeah.
So that's the story that they go with, and they stick to it. It's really an interesting phenomenon because the more they tell that story, the more it gets reinforced, and they protect the story, right? So they adopt this can't-do story, it begins to work against them. And what happens on a psychological level is that the brain begins to start looking for evidence that you can't do it. Because now I've got this idea that I need the support, right? It's almost like if you compare this to someone who doesn't believe in climate change, right?
Okay.
They go out
and
they search for every fact and finding that disputes climate change, but the person on the other side of the argument does the same thing, right?
Right.
So we call this a cognitive bias. So you train your brain to be able to say, this is the thought I have, and now I'm going to go out and find everything that supports that thought, and that's going to solidify and reinforce this particular thought. That affects the way that you feel, it affects the way that you behave, and it has a impact on the results that you get. So I approach students from, if you can choose the thought that you can't do it, isn't it equally as easy to choose the thought that you can?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For me, it's just that basic. Why would you not vote for yourself? Why would you not advocate for you?
Exactly.
Is it going to be difficult? Yes. Is it going to be something that's probably going to get on your nerves? Yes. But the fact that you have done other things in your life that you didn't think you could, this is no different, in my opinion. You've just told the story to yourself so much that you now believe it.
Right. And you know what? I equate that to negative self-talk. And, you know, you either choose to be have positive affirmations or say, declare positive affirmations to yourself or negative. And oftentimes the ones that you repeat the most about yourself are going to take control. And I tell my kids that all the time.
Yes.
Stop with the negative self-talk because yourself starts to believe that about yourself.
Yes, yes.
And so it's the same concept.
It is. I've listened to a couple of podcasts over the past weekend, and there was this one in particular, and I don't want to say the gentleman's name because I'm mess it up, and I don't want to put his stuff out there bad. But he really connects religious and spiritual practices to the power of thoughts. Mm-hmm. And in a nutshell, what he talks about is the fact that words have power to manifest.
Yes. Oh, my gosh, yes.
So if you are – we were talking about the same thing in the quote that I gave you. You were talking about a choice.
Yeah.
You have the choice. You get to choose what you want to believe about yourself.
Yes.
Now, that's a very simple statement. There are a lot of external factors that influence how that actually shows up in your life, but you still have a choice.
Right. Right. And you know what? I don't know if you've ever heard this sermon. It was by Joel Osteen. And he said, the most powerful words that you could ever speak are powerful words that you could say are, I am. Because whatever follows I am is what you become.
It is. Yeah. And I've seen that reiterated in Eckhart Tolle. I believe the Dalai Lama says something similar. You know, there are certain themes, I don't care what religion you espouse, that has been a theme that your thoughts manifest your reality.
Right.
So
right.
You can see that when you have that negative I can't story, that becomes your reality.
Yeah, Exactly, exactly. So, you know, we've had many profound conversations, and during a previous conversation that we had, you made a very interesting statement to me, and I wanted you to explain it. And the statement was that what you said was that a segment of the college student population is in danger of vanishing overnight. Explain that.
So let me walk you through a little bit of data really quickly here. So there were these researchers from Columbia University that conducted a study using some data from Washington State Community College Technical System.
Mm-hmm.
And they found a couple of interesting findings from this study. And the first one was more of a readiness and performance factor. So what they found was that Black students and students with lower levels of academic preparation had poorer online performance compared with their other racial counterparts.
Mm.
Now, their findings dovetail with some data from the American Council on Education. And in that study, it showed that as far as completion is concerned, Black students who began college in the fall of 2011 had higher dropout rates and lower six-year completion rates than any other racial group. So that was about a 46% rate of dropout at public institution and about a 57% completion rate at private institutions.
Wow.
Now, the end game doesn't look any better, right? Because then
right.
we look at the debt that has occurred. So
mm-hmm.
for debt, Black undergraduates owed 15% more than other students after graduation. That was at about an average of about $4,000 more than their other racial counterparts. So
wow.
when we think about these factors, right,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
performance, academic preparedness, completion, and debt,
yeah,
those are factors that really disable a lot of students from the beginning. And for our Black and brown students, this is crucial,
yeah.
especially in this time now where we're seeing record unemployment.
Yep.
We know that when the economy is bad, a lot of people go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
So if we are not careful, we're going to have a lot of people who are trying to finance their education through loans that they have to pay back.
Right.
Which I don't recommend.
Right.
But that is a whole nother show.
Right, exactly.
But you also have the vulnerability that exists in this population for them not to complete. So if we're not careful, we're going to see a lot of students just going down the drain if we don't do something to support them and do that very quickly. And that support not only has to come from our own kind of community education perspective, but it also has to be support from the colleges and the universities.
Right. Right.
So, you know, I am trying to kind of insert myself in the middle of those two.
Right.
I'm trying to kind of, you know, make sure that there is a resource for students that they can access on their own to get their selves organized for online learning. But I also work with colleges and universities, K-12 institutions, online charter schools, for them to be able to give the type of support to their faculty and staff to be ready for the challenges that come along with supporting online learners. Because there are some unique challenges that
mm-hmm.
that these
mm-hmm.
organizations are going to have to be prepared to face.
Right. And you know, just to piggyback on what you're saying with regards to us providing resources, I kind of saw it firsthand with my daughter's school. You know, we can't assume that everybody has internet. We can't assume that everybody has a laptop.
Yeah.
And so what was so beautiful was that the community, our school community, they loaned out laptops. They gave, you know, free access, or they had, you know, inexpensive resources for internet, you know, to students who may
right,
not have
right.
it. And, you know, that's what community is about. It's about us pulling together to make sure that, you know, the students don't fall behind, or they don't
right.
vanish, you know.
Right,
but we have
right.
to make our mind up, make that choice to come together as a community to do that and
right.
make that happen. So, yeah, we just speak that into existence.
Yes, yes. And we're quite fortunate that the education community is ingrained in so many micro communities. So education has a far-reaching arm. At some point in a large majority of people's lives, education has touched them in some form or fashion. So that's an advantage that we have to really speak to that part of a person's education experience, to really wrap their arms around the people who are closest to them and provide them with the support that they need so that they can go along their journey.
Right, right. So now, out of your passion for teaching and improving student outcomes, you kind of mentioned it a little bit about your company. You were inspired to start the Jackson Educational Consulting Group. So just tell us a little bit more in detail about the goals and mission of your company. And you may have mentioned it, but who is your primary target market?
So my primary market for Jackson Educational Consulting Group, LLC, are your historically black colleges and universities, small liberal arts colleges, your K-12 institutions who are seeking to expand their online delivery, even online charter schools. I'm really trying to provide services to these organizations that want to improve the delivery and the outcomes of their online programs. So the core of what's at, you know, of what we do at JACG is really focusing on this three-step process of how we show organizations to carve out their own path to success.
Okay.
So we start by identifying their strengths in this instructional delivery. We believe that there are things that are unique to organizations that they do well, and that if you leverage those strengths, you can expand your capabilities. So that's kind of the second piece of the process.
Okay.
You start with what you do well, and we try to expand that. We want to capitalize on the things that you already know how to do and then connect them to the things that you want to become better at. And then from that, the third piece is developing a framework that they can use as a continuous improvement cycle. So it's a blueprint, right? Once you figure out what your blueprint is for taking on new projects and solving new problems, you can then use that blueprint or that equation and modify it as necessary to continue making improvements. So, you know, in doing that, we want to help you avoid some common mistakes when you're trying to transition quickly to online learning, which is pretty much the case right now.
Right.
And really trying to support those faculty and staff who are really dedicated to helping online students achieve the academic goals that they want and to help improve the outcomes for the organization.
Okay, okay. So, you know what, right now we're going to pause and we're going to take a short station break, because what I want to do is after the break – I want to get into the meat and potatoes of the approach that you take, which is the think, act, and feel model. So I don't want to start that right now because I know that's a lot of information. So at this point, we're going to wind down. We're going to take a short station break. And when we return, we'll continue with the interview with my special guest, Dr. Mario Jackson, CEO of Jackson Educational Consulting Group. And I am Allie, your host. If you're listening to There Is Life After Layoff radio show, so please stay tuned.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
All right, we're back. If you're just joining us, welcome to There Is Life After Layoff radio show with my special guest, Dr. Mario. I'm your host, Allie, and we encourage you to listen to the show through uptomeradio.com, which is up, the number 2, meradio.com. And you can also listen to the recorded podcast of this show through iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and TuneIn. So all you have to do is search for Up to Me Radio, and you'll find us there. And if you want to be a part of tonight's conversation, or if you want to ask my guest a question, it's not too late. You can reach us by calling 347-324-5246, and make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into the on-air host queue. So now, Dr. Mario, we're going to pick up where we left off. I want you to talk a little bit about, explain the approach that you take when you're consulting students on how to be successful with online learning, which is what you call the thought-based approach, and explain what the think, act, feel model is.
Okay. So just to kind of give you like a context for this, I wanted to share a quote with you that really brings it home for me, and it's by Robin S. Sharma. And the quote is that the mind is a wonderful servant but a terrible master. So it goes to the heart of how powerful our minds are and what our thoughts really have the ability to do for our lives. So when I talk about taming your brain, I'm referring to a concept that's based in cognitive psychology called thought work. And thought work involves analyzing a model that incorporates a couple of different factors, your thoughts, your feelings, and your actions. So that's where we get the think, feel, act model from.
Okay.
So just to kind of think about how this works, it really involves bringing a level of awareness to your non-productive thought patterns and replacing them with new patterns to help you reach your outcome. So that's that choice that we've been talking about.
Right.
So the model is contingent upon a circumstance. So if you kind of think about what's the trigger that activates the model, it's a circumstance. So something happens to you in your daily life, and then based on that situation or circumstance, you go through this process or this cycle of having a thought, a feeling, and an action. And those three factors lead you to an outcome either that you desire or you don't desire.
Hmm.
So I'll stop there for a second because I know it's a lot for people to take in, but the challenge arises when the first reaction to that circumstance is a negative thought.
Mm. Okay.
And that creates feelings and emotions that aren't necessarily pleasant. It could be, you know, being anxious or depression or, you know, fear. And those things don't really take you to the place where you want to act in a way to get a specific set of results.
Okay.
So I really try to focus on students when they come to the online learning process and they begin to have situations or circumstances that occur to them, that we change from choosing attaching a negative thought to that situation to, at a very basic level, a neutral thought. Right. So
let's
say a student has, you know, they don't do well on assignment in a class, right? So instead of saying, oh, I'm stupid, or I knew I shouldn't have taken an online class because I can't keep up with it, or this is not for me, all of those negative things that you could possibly think, we go to just baseline, which is neutral. And the neutral thought is, I didn't do well on the test.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Or if you're more advanced in this and you're able to get to the positive thought, which is, I can do better on this test next time.
Uh-huh.
Right? And those, just that tiny shift in the thought then creates feelings that, instead of feeling bad about yourself or not doing well, you might switch to being curious. So I wonder what I can do differently to study this next time that'll help me do better on the test. And in that moment, your brain has shifted, and it's going to take you on a safari hunt to go find all of the things that you need to do differently.
Wow.
Whereas if you're stuck in that negative cycle, all you're going to do is continue to watch Netflix, eat Ben and Jerry's, and not log on.
Right. Wow. Just that little shift.
Yeah, we've all been there. We all have these experiences. But somehow with online learning, we forget about this stuff. And as I said before, the online learning and the student experience is a part of your human experience. This is a challenge for you to learn something different about yourself. And you've risen to this challenge before. So we're going to go back and figure out some of those things that you've done before, and we're going to bring that into the present and use it as a way for you to understand that this context is no different, and we can change the thought pattern so that you get the results that you want in online learning.
Hence, taming your brain.
Taming your brain.
Right. And it's hard to do because we're so used to doing one thing. that, you know, you really have to make a conscious effort and make that choice to do something different. It's almost like that, what is that quote, you can't expect different results making the same bad choices?
Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely, absolutely. And with any new skill that you're learning, it takes practice, right? You know, what I've observed with teaching online students is that at some point they get the content. You know, they get the math, they get the English, they get the science, they get it at some point. It's these behind-the-scenes skills related to being able to tame your brain that no one has ever taught them. You know, think about your own educational experience. How many classes did you go through where somebody taught you how to practice thought work?
Right.
I know I didn't have that experience.
Yeah,
it wasn't
neither did I.
Like, right. So it is my approach to really taking a holistic view of the student and filling in the gaps that they won't typically experience in their online learning process, because the fact of the matter is that online teachers just don't have time to teach this type of stuff. They have to teach their content.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, okay. So then that's where the family, you know, if it's a, you know, parent or what have you, they have to sometimes maybe intervene and pay attention to those thoughts and kind of, gotcha.
Right. And that along, and that itself involves that level of awareness because, you know, parents are people too.
That's right.
You know,
they
may not be able to do this either. You know, it's a human thing. No one sits us down to teach us that you have the power to choose what you think, and particularly what you think about yourself and what you're capable of achieving.
Right. Now, this next question is so interesting, and it is, oh my goodness, this is a topic of conversation in our house often. And so here it goes. What would you say is the number one negative mindset that students say is the reason why they are not successful? Blaming others.
Yes.
But why they're not successful. Oh, my goodness. That is just so my house.
So blaming other people kind of, if you have to dig down into what that's about, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of times we get caught up in our thoughts about other people's thoughts.
How crazy is that, right?
So, you know, let's say that, you know, I'll give you an example from something I wrote in one of the blogs that is coming in, I'm releasing next month. And it's a scenario where a student was spending some time talking to a professor on the phone about some of the questions that would be on this upcoming quiz.
Okay.
And, you know, they spent a lot of time going through, you know, reviewing the questions and going through the course content. Test day rolls around, and the student misses the question. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the student falls into this cycle of, you know, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, you know, the whole, you know, kind of being the victim approach to what the circumstance was. And then they think, well, you know, my professor must think I'm really stupid. And that's what we call mind reading, right? Now, we have no idea of being able to think what we know other people are thinking, right? That's
right.
You don't have that ability.
Right.
But the issue is that when you begin to fall into this thought error, it just goes deeper and deeper. So she must think I'm stupid. She must think that I'm not good enough to be in this class. She must wonder why I'm even in school, right? It just goes on and on and on and on.
Right.
But the reality of the fact is that your teacher is probably on the other side of the computer thinking, oh, my God, what did I do wrong that this student didn't get the question right? You know, am I making the test too hard? Am I not teaching something properly? So here's the beauty of the whole Think, Feel, Act model. Everybody has one, and your model is not dependent on somebody else's. What other people think about you and what you think about them is not the other person's problem. Right? There's a lot of power in understanding other people's opinions of you are not your business.
Right.
You got your own stuff to deal with.
Oh, my goodness. So I don't want to hear, again, my teacher doesn't like me. I don't want to hear that no more.
Right.
Because that's what
and
that
at
is.
The end of the day, the teacher, whether the teacher likes you or not, you got to put the points on the board, right? You got to get the grades in the grade book. So if you can come back to, again, taking that negative thought and neutralizing it, all right?
Right.
I don't know if my teacher likes me or not, but I know that I have to do better on the next thing. Send your brain out on that safari hunt to make it happen.
Right. And my point is, you know, my conversation has been, well, they don't know you to like you. I'm like, you know, and I tell them often, first of all, you don't have to like them. If from your perspective, they don't have to like you, but you as the student and as the minor, you need to respect them. So whether you like them or not is a moot point, but just respect them as your teacher and get your lessons, and let's keep it moving. We're not here to make friends here, you know.
And I would be willing to bet that the teacher is probably thinking the same thing, too. The student doesn't like you.
Right.
You know, it's just you never know what a person is going through on the other side of that desk or that computer. And a lot of times, they're not thinking about you as much as you think they are.
Get that right. You're not that important, and you're not at the top of their to-do list, you know?
Right.
Wow.
So that's just a personal jail that you put yourself in, and you lock yourself in and throw away the key. You should stop doing. You don't have to do that to yourself.
Right. Now, as we're talking about faculty, what role does faculty play in students' online learning success? How important is that role?
So I'm going to approach this from kind of like the way that I see my role, right?
Okay.
And
mm-hmm.
I believe as an instructor, whether I'm teaching an online class, a training workshop, or a face-to-face class, my job is to really set you up with the opportunities that you need to learn, right?
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
I see myself as kind of a gateway to tools and resources that can help you not only learn the course content, but also to overcome some of the challenges that you're having in your experience. So that's why I incorporate more of a coaching style into my persona as a teacher, if you will.
Okay.
Right? Because, like I said, students eventually get the content,
right?
It's the mm-hmm. other stuff that's going on behind the scenes that keep them from logging onto that class and doing the work. So I have to be able to share with them some of the tools and resources that they need, but especially the tame your brain technique so that they understand that this is a way that you can manage the stress of what it means to be an online learner and how you can actually get over the obstacles that some you put in front of yourself, you know, to be
honest,
with the way that you're thinking, but that it's not the end all, right? That there are ways to be able to figure things out.
Right. Okay. So do you, with your consulting, do you work with a faculty, ever work with faculty, or, you know, I know you mentioned that, you know, a large majority of these faculty, they don't really have time, but have you?
Right.
In your experience, worked with some faculty to kind of show them the other side of the coin?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So a big piece of what I promote through the consultancy is really showing faculty how to implement coaching into their teaching method.
Okay.
And it's a really important factor, in my opinion, to retaining online learners.
Right.
So, you know, I could do a whole season with you on the horror stories that I hear from students about what's going on in their lives. And many of them are really valid things, Allie, things that you just couldn't even fathom that would happen to a human being, but they do. And I guess that's humbling in a way because it really does emphasize that point that I'm making that you're going through the human experience while you're in school, while you're taking an online class. So you can't separate the two.
Right.
You know, it takes a special set of skills to be able to deal with some of those challenges, and particularly kind of understanding how to navigate in that space of coaching. Because there's some very specific skills and approaches and knowledge that you need in order to coach a student. And the concept here with the coaching is that you're not trying to fix it for them. You're trying to be a gateway to resources, tools, and strategies that they can use to solve their challenge. So you're guiding them, you're coaching them. You're not playing the therapist. You're not counseling. You're getting into here are resources that you should look at, and asking those questions of well, why do you think this is going on, or what do you think you can do, and just going through that cycle. As you begin to talk, you'll discover things that some students just don't know, and I think myself included, a lot of faculty take for granted that we think that students know a whole lot more than they do, and we just have these blinders on. Mm-hmm. They simply just don't know. There are things that they just don't know. So it is our job to kind of guide them down that path of becoming knowledgeable and understanding how to deal with new challenges.
Right, and that as a parent, I learned early on with my kids that each child learns differently. And so I had to, in order to be able to reach each one of my children, I had to figure out, okay, how does this child learn? And what I discovered, just for example, quick example, with my daughter Imani, when she was young, she was having trouble. This was around the time she was like preschool, kindergarten, whatever. And she, they were learning their address, telephone number, and all that kind of stuff. And she just could not remember it. But then I realized that if I put it to music and made a song out of it, she remembered it. And so I took that approach. And so, my son is different, he kind of has a photogenic memory, but still. But, pay attention as an instructor and as a faculty member, if you pay attention, like you said, you can not try to solve the problem, but provide those resources.
Right, right. So you're in that example of you and Imani, now maybe through her subsequent learning experiences, she took that tool mm-hmm. and used it to remember new information and knowledge that she was presented with.
Right.
So that's a skill that will help her for the rest of her life, and that's really what I do with the online students, but also with the colleges and universities, to show them that same thing. Hey, you guys learned how to do this fairly quickly with great success. Let's see if we can tweak it a little bit and try it in a different area.
Right, right, right. So you talked about your blog, Office Hours with Dr. Mario. There was a blog post that you wrote that was very interesting, and it was called Quitting Before Starting. I wanted you to talk a little bit about that because I think it's so important to what we're talking about tonight.
So it goes back to that I can't story that I was talking about at the top of our call. So I had a call from a student who was getting prepared to do the first writing assignment in the class. Mm-hmm. And in this particular class, the writing assignments were pretty light. They weren't your full-on hardcore research papers, but they were more geared towards getting the student to process what they had learned and to talk about it in their own words. Mm-hmm. And in the call, I could hear the anxiety, if you will, or just the nerves in the student's voice. And, the student said, I might as well just, stop now because I know I'm not going to get a good grade on this assignment. And I'm just like,
wow.
Whoa. I was like, okay, so we just sat down at the finish line, at the starting line, right?
Right.
Everybody is ready to start the race, and we're just going to sit here, right? I was like, no. I said, listen, where did you learn this statement that you believe about yourself that you're not a good writer? Mm. And, the student went into a whole lot of explanations of why they held this belief and external messages that, they'd received. And I had to, just back up to just getting into a neutral zone. So here's what the facts are. You are in college. You're enrolled in a college-level course. This isn't your first class, so you had to write something before you got to me. So I would imagine that you're doing pretty good. It may not be where you want it to be, but it's not, you know, this complete disaster that you've led yourself to believe.
Wow.
So, you know, the student actually, you know, was able to kind of shift for a quick second to think, you know, well, you know what, I never thought about that way. And I was like, exactly.
Mm.
Right. So we went into, you know, that piece was more of the kind of the tame your brain approach. But I augmented that with a plan on how you can become more confident about your writing. I said, I want you to sit down and do a list of everything that you think is not good with your writing, right? It's spelling
right.
and grammar, it's sentence structure, it's tone, it's clarity, it's voice, whatever.
Right.
right? And each time you write something, I want you to focus on one thing. And mm-hmm. whether you finish this list in this course or not, take it with you to the next one. And every time you write, focus on one thing. It can be one thing you're doing the entire week, you only focus on that one thing.
Right.
And what you'll begin to notice is that if you commit to this and if you make this a practice, that writing is a skill, and nobody pops out of their mothers knowing how to do it, right? You know,
oh, my gosh.
It's like anything. We have to learn how to do things, and I think online students get down on themselves so much because they're comparing themselves to other people, and they haven't settled into their own journey. So if you're constantly looking and you're walking down a road and you're constantly looking over your shoulder or looking to the side,
you're gonna bump into something.
Right. That's like driving a car and looking over your shoulder while you got your foot on the gas.
Right.
So
right.
focus on the things that you need, and that's how you get to your goal. So by the end of that conversation, the students were super motivated to go out and practice, you know, one of the skills that we come up with. And I talked about some online tools that would help with you know, the grammar and the writing structure. You know,
right.
the technology now is just so wonderful that it'll tell you what you did wrong, why
yes,
you did it.
Grammarly. I use Grammarly.
Right.
Ah.
Yes. We love Grammarly. I use it for everything.
Yes.
But the good thing about using Grammarly repeatedly is that you'll begin to know when you make the errors before you even
Right. Right. That, oh, my God, that is so true. Let me tell you, the process that I went through when I was writing my book, first of all, I had to get out of my own way with that because I'm a perfectionist.
Right.
And what I went to a seminar for writers, and there was an experienced editor there, and she said, what you're going to have to do, she said, you will never finish a book if you don't stop correcting everything you write. Dump it out, and then that's what we have editors for.
Right,
get it out.
Exactly.
You know, it's not going to be pretty, but then that's
right.
when you go back. And see, that was my problem when I first started. Is that's why it took 2 years for me to write it, because I kept correcting what I wrote, and I could never get anything done.
But again, that's just another example of what I'm saying. That's your human experience inside
mm-hmm.
of the writing experience.
Right?
Right. Because we all are. I don't care if you're the most renowned PhD, whether you're a world-famous writer, you have to go through the process. And through
that's
that process,
right.
you discover how you work the process. And once you learn how you work through the process, you'll begin to figure out ways to improve your process. But
right.
for some reason, when you have that I can't story, you never get to that, right?
Wow.
You never get to that journey of discovering what you can actually accomplish.
Right. And my editor, oh, she was so awesome. She has me trained now. I know exactly what not to do before I
yep.
do it now, because
you
I just got that mindset.
You know before you put the sentence on the page. Exactly.
Yes. And I'm like, oh, she told me not to ever do that. So, you know. Wow, that's awesome. So, you know, tell us a little bit more about how we can learn about your organization. Give us your website and social media and how, you know, we can reach out to you and learn more about what you do.
Yeah, so for students, you can check out my blog. It's called Office Hours with Dr. Mario, and that's at www.mario.com. That's Dr. abbreviated without the period. And I offer a lot of tips and resources on the blog, so you can find a checklist that'll help you get prepared for online learning. So whether you're new to online learning or you've been taking classes, I guarantee that the checklist will share some insights with you that you may have not considered to help you kind of organize the process. I also do a monthly webinar. So I take, you know, my big five areas of what you need to focus on to be successful as an online learner, and I spend about an hour each month doing a webinar for students. And the webinar is free as well. It's not a sales pitch.
Wow.
It's not
okay.
Anything other than knowledge that you can use to learn how to be a more successful online learner. And the name of that webinar is called How to Get Your Online Classes Done Without Hating It.
Okay.
You can also find recordings of my podcast interviews, like I'm doing tonight. You can listen to me talk a little bit more about how to tame your brain for online learning. And the social media, I take a little bit of a different approach to social media. So I don't cram everything onto my blog. I use social media to post weekly video tips.
Okay.
Where students can get just like a bite-sized nugget of information. So
okay.
I'm not into long videos, folks. So we're talking about like a minute, 30, 2 minutes. That's about as long as you're going to get from me on a video. But you can find those on my social media pages, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter. So for Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, they're all the same the same name. It's at Office Hours Dr. Mario, and again, that's Dr. abbreviated without the period.
Mm-hmm.
And for Twitter, it's just Office Hours Dr. M, and again, Dr. abbreviated without the period.
Awesome.
I'm still trying to figure Twitter out, so
yeah.
You know, don't judge me about my Twitter account, because I'm from the old school, and that character limitation is frustrating to me. So
I know.
I'm still trying to figure out how to make Twitter work.
I hear you. Well, you know what?
Yep.
Thank you so much for being such an inspirational part of my journey and for coming on and wanting to share with my listeners tonight. Thank you for all
yes.
that you're doing to help educate our students. I appreciate it so much.
Yes, and just one more thing. I told you that I was going to come back to this at the end. It is because of a conversation I had with you almost a year and a half ago that this blog exists. So
wow.
You are an inspiration, and I know you remember the call, and
I still
have the note that I took when we spoke that day. And here we are about a year or so later, and it was because of you nurturing my inspiration that I was able to bring this to fruition.
Wow.
So I want to say thank you for being an inspiration and a motivator in my life.
Oh, thank you. It's been my pleasure. And I know that, you know, anytime you have something that you want to share, you know, you want to come back on the show, my door is open.
Well, thank you so much, and I would definitely take you up on that offer.
Absolutely. Thank you. So now, as a friendly reminder, as we get ready to close out another wonderful show, I want to remind everybody that the summer is a great time to catch up on all of our great programming on Up to Me Radio. And so that's up2meradio.com. And you can access all of our past recorded podcasts on the individual show pages. But as I mentioned earlier in the show, you can also find us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and TuneIn. All you have to do is search for Up to Me Radio. And please also remember to follow me on my blog at thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And as always, if you wish to contact me directly, you can do so via email at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. And please also remember to connect and follow us on social media. You'll find me on Twitter and Instagram at AllieWard45. And on Facebook, you'll find me at There Is Life After Layoff. And Up to Me Radio can be found on Twitter and Facebook at Up to Me Radio. So on behalf of myself and the There Is Life After Layoff radio team, thank you so much for joining us on this journey. We are grateful for your support, and do not take it for granted that you have chosen to spend this time with us. And so until next time, we continue to urge you to be encouraged. And yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you're walking towards, just know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. Continue to join us on this journey and take a leap of faith past the fear in your life. Know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember, there is life after layoff. Thank you and good night.
Failure is not final. Your life. God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you through. No need for complaining, just look at this, it's just training to be ready. What God has for you, tell yourself, no, in you, Lord, I have my faith in. Even when it seems, that's when you look, that's when your breakthrough will begin. Known has come from you alone.